afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the first day of Brewing Faith this week. It's Wednesday, and we're live and looking forward to getting into the Word today. Amen. Thank you for tuning in, and we are going to look at Luke chapter 13 today, and I just came from my barber, and I just want to share a little bit from my barber. He's been cutting hair for, I think he said, almost 59 years now. So he's heard a lot in 59 years, but he told a story today that it reminded me of Brother Waldrop preaching last night. And Brother Waldrop was really, he was really at the crux of his message. He made a statement. He said, "You may carry revival today, but someday revival will carry you." And he said that several times. It's pretty powerful that you carry revival now, someday revival will carry you. Well, today, sitting in the barber chair, I got a practical example of you might carry somebody today and they might carry you later. My barber was telling a story of he said he started cutting hair in 1964. So what would that be? Would that be 64? So 36 and 23. Yeah, that's 49 years. Is that right? 30 and 64. So 36. That's 59. Yeah, getting my math skills here. 59 years he's been cutting hair. But 1964, and he was saying in Racine, in the early 60s, they had over, 133 barbershops, or 133 barbers. I should, probably not 103 barbershops, because I think his shop was like a very large shop at one time, had like five or six guys cutting hair at the same time. But he said the 60s was what do we know as the 60s? The hippie movement. And he said they went from 133 barbers. And when the hippies started, he said we lost over 100 barbers in Racine. So he's telling me this story. We lost over 100 barbers, lost their jobs because nobody needed a haircut anymore. But he was telling me this because he said, I started right in 1964 is when I started cutting hair. He said, I didn't know how to cut hair. I'm just learning. And he said, back in the day, he said, and it's hard for, if you can imagine this, what the barbershop looked like back then. He said it was huge. He said it was like, it was a big, big open area. I want to say five or six chairs. And he said you had a big board, and when you came in, you would sign in to what barber you wanted to cut your hair. He said on Saturdays, they would have up to 40 guys just waiting around. It was first come, first serve. And they had foosball tables, a pool table, I think cards. Guys could play cards back there. So all this is going on in the barbershop. He said, but all these guys are lined up to get haircuts. And he said, here I am, this new, I want to say, he said he was 20. Yeah, he was 20 years old. And he said, nobody wanted to get their hair cut by the new guy. And he said, so this board, he said, there's 40 guys waiting around for a haircut. And he said, I'm standing there. He said, we couldn't sit. We couldn't do anything. We had to stand behind our chair. That's what our boss made us do. He said, we had to stand behind our chair. He said, you talk about embarrassing to have 40 guys and this board filled out, people getting haircuts, and nobody coming to my chair to get their haircut. That's pretty rough. But here's what he said. You know, every once in a while, he said, I always got the screaming kids. He said, if there was a screaming kid, Bob will cut your hair. So he said, I always got the problem kid. But he said he remembered this one guy, and he said his name. So, and I believe the guy is passed on now. And I don't know if he was a doctor. I know he mentioned one was a dentist. But anyway, He said he would come in and get his hair cut by him as a 20-year-old. And he said this guy was a showman. He said he would put on a show in the barbershop. He said, I would cut his hair. And he said, as soon as I was done cutting his hair, I think he was a pretty successful businessman in Racine area. So this is, again, back in the 1960s. He said he would get up from me cutting his hair. And he said, really loud, he would look in the mirror and he would start talking about his haircut. He would say, man, this is the best haircut. And he would look at himself, analyze his hair. This is the best haircut I have ever had. And, you know, he said he would just put on a show. This is my lucky day. And he said, I never forgot that because, he said, people would get up. Oh, I've been waiting too long. I'll get my hair cut from you. He said, and then another person, and then another person. He said, that guy was getting me haircuts is what he was doing by putting on a show. And he said, I cut that guy's hair for 50 years, whatever, many, many years I cut his hair. And he said, I cut his hair when he couldn't come to the barber shop. He said, I would go to his house when he had drool running down. He couldn't hardly talk and couldn't hardly get around. He said, but I never forgot that. I would go and cut his hair at his house when he couldn't come to my shop and get a haircut. Wow, makes me think of that. What you carry today might carry you tomorrow. That man got good old Bob some haircuts when he was 20, when nobody wanted a haircut. And it paid off for that guy. Bob would go to his house and cut his hair. And revival will carry me. I'm gonna carry revival right now. Revival will carry us out of here someday. Amen. That's not my brewing faith today, but I just came from the barbershop. Felt like I wanted to share that today. We're gonna look at Luke chapter 13. Our title, if you saw my title that I've already put on Mixler here, it's Ronald Reagan. It's Ronald Reagan is our title today. I'm going to read my scripture, then we'll talk about Ronald Reagan here for a little bit. Luke chapter 13, and verse number 34, here Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Sad scripture, really, in that Jesus was saying, I envision much, much greater things for you. If you only knew the potential that you had. Oh, how often I would have gathered thy children together. He said, I wanted to do great and mighty things, but I couldn't because of your unbelief, because you didn't believe. There are many reasons here. But he said, I wanted to. The potential was there. So how does that deal with Ronald Reagan today? Well, you know, if you're in my in my library, you'll see that I have a lot of autobiographies and biographies. I like autobiographies if I can, but if it looks like it's a good author and it's not somebody with an agenda about a biography, I'll pick those up too. I don't even necessarily have to be super into that particular person or that. I just like to get autobiographies if it's something, you know, leadership, you know, whatever. Something I like to collect those. You'll see a lot of them in my library. But there's a certain types of biographies or might even be leadership books or but it's somewhat of a biography or autobiography. There's a certain type of books that I don't have in my library. And I'll mention some names too, and we'll see if anybody can figure out what I'm talking about here. There's books like I'm gonna mention some names here, like Mitt Romney, I don't have his book, and John McCain. I may have one of his books, but not his biography or autobiography. Sarah Palin. I mentioned Mitt Romney. John Kerry. What's the other name? I don't know if I'd have this guy's book anyway, but Al Gore. Marco Rubio. I do have his book, but I'm not sure if this is the type of biography, autobiography that I'm talking about here. But there is a common theme of all these names that I've read. I don't know if you can figure it out or not. Al Gore, Sarah Palin, John McCain, Marco Rubio, Mitt Romney, John Kerry. I don't have, again, Marco Rubio. I think that's the only book I have. But I have his book, but because he intrigues me. I know several years ago he posted, somebody sent me something. He posted a Acts 2:38 in some kind of form or fashion of what he was, his feed or whatever. And somebody sent that to me, so Marco Rubio intrigues me. But they all have a common theme. I don't have their books, even though I like autobiographies. Guess what? All of these guys were losers. They lost, and I believe all of them ran for president or were vice president candidates. And all of these people have written books, and a lot of times right before they're going up for presidential election or leading up to it, they'll write a book to try and boost their publicity, give them some publicity and boost their ideas. Mitt Romney writes a book to show this is my vision for the country. I think I might have another guy that ran for president. I went through the book very quickly. The guy from Wisconsin that ran for president, and his name's not coming to me right now. Paul Ryan. I think I might have his book, just because he's from Wisconsin here. But they all lost. And when I thrift shop, I bargain shop, and some of these books are really cheap. I think I can get Mitt Romney's book really cheap. But when I look at it, I think, he wrote that book right when he was running for president. He lost. I don't want to read that book. I don't want to read a loser's book. So the other day I was in a thrift store, and anytime I see a book about Ronald Reagan, I'm intrigued. I have quite a few of them in my library already. And I thought I had almost every Ronald Reagan book, out there. Or there's probably more. But I a lot of times when I see a Ronald Reagan book, it's like, oh, I already got that book. Or I already have that book. And so I was at a thrift store, and there's a little paperback. And it was a book about Ronald Reagan. I picked it up, kind of was questioning, like, do I have this book already? And I was looking through it, and all of a sudden I saw something in there. And it said something about this man may be president someday. And I'm like, oh, when was this book written? Because, most of the Ronald Reagan books are written after he's passed away, after he was president, about his presidency. I'm like, oh, this is an old book. And so I looked. It was written in 1976. And I realized, oh, this is one of these style books that he wrote it right before, or somebody wrote it trying to promote him. They wrote it that trying to promote him to be the president of the United States. It's one of these, like in the line with Sarah Palin, John McCain, Marco Rubio, Mitt Romney, these guys. So it was Ronald Reagan in 1976, and it was a book about him trying to promote him to be president. And so I'm looking through it, but I read the statement, this man may be president someday. And I was like, oh, I'm buying this book. Why? Because this was written before he was president, but it was written and it came to pass. 4 years later, he would be the president, Ronald Reagan. Little did they know that when they wrote this little paperback book that this I think at the time, the governor of California would be regarded as one of the greatest presidents in the United States. I mean, It's the Ronald Reagan. And here it is, 1976. And it made me think of all these other books that I don't pick up. But here is this book by Ronald Reagan 4 years before he was president. And he did what he set out to do in this book before he became president. So when I grabbed the book, I'm thinking, this man did it. He lived up to, he had potential. These guys all, John Kerry, Mitt Romney, they write these books like, this is my vision. Well, it never came to pass. But here's a guy that you can look back, read it. I'm interested to read what about him from 1976, what they were saying, what was said about him in 1976, and then he became President Ronald Reagan. But he obviously, he did what he set out to do, envisioned in this book. So here in Luke chapter 13, you see Jesus weeping, saying, I had much more plans for you. I had great potential, but you didn't live up to it. And that's my brewing faith today is I don't want to be a has-been book. I don't want to be a book that nobody reads. I want to do everything that God wants me to do. I don't want God to weep over me and say, oh, I had much more plans for you. I envision much greater things for you. He said, oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. I think one version says he wept over Jerusalem. You who killed the prophets, stoned them that were sent unto thee. How often would have I gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. I had much greater plans for you. Be the book that God wants you to be. I don't want to be wasted potential. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. Ronald Reagan, 1976. This man, oh yes, he is going to be president. He's going to be president for 8 years, and there's going to be a presidential library now. You know, when they wrote that book, they didn't know that in 1976. There's going to be a very beautiful presidential library that you can go visit today where a nice-sized portion of the Berlin Wall is there. Why? Because he lived up to his potential in this world. I want to live up to my potential in everything that God wants for me. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. Tomorrow at 1:30, we will have Brother Malkasian will be giving us a Brewing Faith. Look forward to that. And on Friday, we will be talking about how to withstand the pressure that's in our world today. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day in the Holy Ghost. Amen.